My name is Bill. I am one of the pastors here, mainly at the Draper campus. And again, I just want to say thanks for coming. I'm going to give you a shortened version of my shortened version message today. I'm going to help us get prepared for Christmas. Now, I think, I'm not going to show the clip, but you've seen the clip. The Grinch, think of this. When the Grinch finally sees the light, he says this line, "Maybe Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." And I just want to help us prepare for Christmas, because oftentimes what we can think of when we think of I'm prepared for Christmas is what? I'm all done with my shopping. And by the way, guys, 12 days left, 12 shopping days left till Christmas. Just a little tip for you. Take that home and use it, all right? But I want to share with you that just being done with your shopping doesn't mean you're prepared for Christmas. Because Christmas, just like the Grinch found out, means more than just packages. It means more than just planning and parties and lights. It means so much more than that. And I want to share with you today how you can prepare your heart for Christmas. It's coming up quick, and I want us to be prepared. So let's just bow our heads, and we'll look at three things that we can do to prepare our hearts for Christmas. God, we thank you for today. Thank you for the kids program. Thanks for the reminder that way back in the garden that you had a plan to redeem fallen man. And it's through Jesus. And we appreciate that reminder today. We just love you, God, and we pray that you would help us prepare our hearts for Christmas. We trust that you will now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you do, I did put some blanks in if you want to fill it out. Of course we have blanks. The green sheet on the back there, you can fill out the blanks real quick. Again, I just want to briefly share with you a couple thoughts that God has put on my heart as far as preparing for Christmas is way more than just buying presents. And there's three things that we're going to look at, three steps to prepare your heart for Christmas. Number one, prepare your heart. Get your heart ready, which means to rearrange your priorities. Our hearts are so important. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It says, above all else, guard your what? Guard your heart. For from it flows the wellspring of life. Meaning, everything you do, everything you are, everything you think flows from what is in your heart. We need to make sure we have the right priorities, especially around Christmas time. And just like it says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We need to rearrange the priorities of our lives. Men and women, it's just not about getting through the Christmas tree, opening the presents on Christmas morning. It's about rearranging the priorities of your life. It's not just about your hobbies or your job or your sports or your TV or your 401k. It's not just about those things. Christmas is so much more than that. And you'll learn more about this next week as I talk about what does it mean that God came to this planet. And I want to ask you this morning just to think about a few things. Is Christ first priority in your heart today? Have you so rearranged your life that people would look at you and say, ah, that man or that woman has Christ as first priority? Do you have that? Then you're on your way to being prepared for Christmas. There's another thing you need to do to cleanse your heart. If you're going to prepare your heart for Christ for Christmas, then you need to cleanse your heart. You say, how do I do that? Well, the answer is you can't, but God can. And that's why he came. You see, that baby that we saw in the manger, he came for a purpose. He came to die so that he could cleanse your heart of sin. See, sin messes us up. In Hebrews, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. See, only Jesus, you see, can cleanse our hearts, can make our hearts right before God. So the question I have for you, have you been cleansed by God? Has your heart been cleansed by God? If it hasn't, you're not ready for Christmas. You're missing the whole point of Christmas if your heart's not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So that's the first thing you need to do, is get your heart ready. Prepare your heart. Number two, you need to soften your heart. Soften your heart. Our hearts can get so hardened. We need to let God replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. That's what it says in the Bible. And I love this verse in Ezekiel 36:26. It says, this is a promise, by the way, to you and to me. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, sin comes into our lives and it hardens our hearts. You know, yesterday I spent about 2 hours on what should have been a 10-minute job in my house. It was kind of a fun project, but I replaced the humidifier filter that's built into my furnace. And I hadn't done that evidently for a long time because I have hard water, and that thing was a brick when I took it out. It was literally, the filter was a brick of hardened chemicals, minerals. I had to scrape things broke and it was a mess. The hard water had ruined my filter on my furnace. Here's the deal. Sin will harden your heart and only God can soften it. God is the ultimate soft heart, hot water, whatever. It sounded good in my mind, but it didn't come out good. Hard water softener, yeah. God will soften your heart. That's what I want to say. And that means that you need to let God renew your heart, to renew it, to make it new. We have such hard hearts. God wants to make them clean. It says in Isaiah, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are filled with sin, God can make it as white as snow, and He can soften our hearts. The question I have for you on this point is, would you like to be forgiven? Wouldn't you like to be forgiven today? Have all the hardness of your heart removed, all that stain, all that sin taken away from you. Who wouldn't want that? You can have it today. You can. God offers it to you today. That's why Jesus came. That's why He came. First of all, to prepare your heart. Second, you need to soften your heart. And the final point, you need to exchange gifts of the heart. That's what Christmas is about. We exchange gifts, but don't miss the meaning in the exchange of gifts. Gift giving is a two-way thing. You give gifts and you receive gifts. And I like what Vance Havner said. He said this. He said, Christmas is based on an exchange of gifts, the gift of God to man, His unspeakable gift of His Son, and the gift of man to God when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So in our lives, there's a gift of our life, our very heart that we give to Christ. We turn our lives over to Him, and that's a gift to Him. And we receive the gift that Jesus offers us because He died on the cross for our sins. That's what Christmas is all about. There's two phases. First, we give ourselves as a gift to Christ. And as it says in Romans chapter 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of service. Men and women, have you done that yet? Have you turned your life over to Christ? Have you surrendered to Him? You know, sometimes we'll raise our hands in worship, and I like to think of that as a surrender. When I'm worshiping God, I'm just saying, God, I give up. I give up trying to be good enough to earn your favor. I can never please you. I never feel like I've earned your favor. And the point is, I never can, and you can't either. Why? Because your heart is full of sin. And there has to come a point where we give ourselves to Jesus, and we just say, I give up. I give. I'm yours. I can't do this any longer. That's the first part of the gift. The second part of the gift is to receive something. And what we receive in order to make our hearts right for Christmas is we received the gift of Jesus. And I love what it says in John 1:12, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You're not a child of God until you surrender to Him and receive the gift that He offers you. Have you done that yet? Have you become a Christian? Have you become born again? That's what it means. You be born again, you become a child of God. It means He forgives you of your sin and the Holy Spirit moves in you. And your heart is cleansed. And you can go to heaven because your sins are forgiven. Have you done that yet? That's between you and God. Have you received that gift yet? You can do it today. You can do it today. And I want to end on one story. I've told this before, but even if you've heard it, you'll be glad to hear it again. One story here. Let me read it to you. And I think it makes this point so clearly, the need for us to receive what Jesus offers to each one of us. We all need to make this choice. And He offers the gift to every one of us. But will we take it? Do we see the priority? Have we rearranged the priorities of our heart to say, Christ alone is what I need. I surrender to Him. This story, I think, paints a vivid picture, literally, of what that looks like. Let me read it to you. It's called Whoever Takes the Son. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh, adorning the walls of their family estate. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. But after only a few short weeks, his father received a dreaded telegram. His son had been killed. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. And as he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art along the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who said, "I was a friend of your son's. Can I come in? In fact, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. I have something I'd like to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist and then gave the old man the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. And overcome with emotion, the old man hung the portrait over his fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift that he'd been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces of art for which museums around the world had clamored. The following spring, the old man died, and the art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and the art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was a painting of the man's son. And the auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. Finally, someone shouted out, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the valuable works." The auctioneer responded, "No, no. We have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a neighbor of the old man offered $10. "That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice." Boom, the gavel fell, and cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." But the auctioneer looked around the room filled with people and announced the auction was over. Everyone was stunned, and someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come all the way here for a painting of someone's son. There are $1 million worth of art hanging here. What's going on?" And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple, you see. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets everything." That kind of puts Christmas in perspective, doesn't it? Men and women, do you have the Son today? You know, it says in this last verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." If you rearrange the priorities of your life and you put Jesus in the proper perspective today and you take the Son, guess what? You get everything. But you could be prepared for Christmas. You could be prepared for life. You could have as much money as you can imagine. You could have the biggest house. You could have the best job and the best family and all the money that'll take care of you. But if you miss the Son, guess what? You miss everything. But if you get Jesus, you get it all. You need to soften your heart. You need to receive the gift that God offers you, the gift of his son that was born on Christmas Day so many years ago. Do you have the son? Have you received him? And will you take him today? Will you? Would you stand up with me while we pray? And we'll have one last song. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the son. It's not that difficult. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be reminded about why Jesus came. And I pray that for people here today that maybe are hearing this for the first time or freshly for the first time and realizing, I'm not sure if I have the Son. I think I'm prepared outwardly, but I don't think inwardly I'm prepared for eternity. I don't think my sins are forgiven. I don't think that I'm pleasing God. Now, just understand that God's not asking you to come to church to clean up your life. He's asking you to take the Son, to receive Him in your heart, to receive the free gift of eternal life by having your sins forgiven. And if that's you today and you say, yes, today, December 13, 2015, is my day to take the Son, because if I don't have Him, I don't have anything, then you can pray with me quietly in your heart. You can say something like this. You can say, Jesus, I thank you that you came to this planet to take care of the problem of sin, which has been a universal problem since the beginning of time. And you came to take care of my sin problem. You came to cleanse my heart. And I ask you, the best way I know how, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me of my sin. Thank you for dying for me. Even though I didn't deserve it, you paid for my sin. And thank you, Father, for sending your most beloved Son and offering Him to every one of us. And Lord, we've learned again today that if we have the Son, we have all we need. And I receive the Son by faith. I receive Jesus and the death and the payment that He made for my sins on that cross. I say yes to you and thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you. I say yes to you right now. And if that was your prayer, as we're continuing to pray here, I just want to say that's the best Christmas gift you could ever give yourself. And by the way, it's the best Christmas gift God could ever get. He's been dying to share that with you. And if you pray that prayer, I'm just going to ask you, as your heads are bowed, before you leave, there's a card in front of you in the chair, in the pocket there. Fill that out right on there that I prayed with Bill, and I will send you one email. I just want to follow up. This is what we're doing here. This is the most important thing you've done in your life. I want to help you. I'm not going to hound you. I'll send you one email. But please do that if you prayed that for the first time today. For the rest of us, God, we're just thankful for the reminder that Jesus, you did come to this planet. The Son came and died. And we are so thankful for that. We rejoice. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to have one song before we go here.